This is J.P. Robinson, point guard for the Detroit Tigers. Be sure to tune in to Fox Sports Show's 97.9 FM.
Welcome back, everyone, to Monday Night Tip-Off presented by 2nd & 13 Sports Bar & Grill on 97.9 Fox Sports Shoals. Scott, what an interesting first hour we had talking about the Times Daily Classic, all that's going on over there at Mars Hill High School, and then winter stuff will take, you get like with the semifinals and finals taking place over at Flowers Hall and such, but a lot of great basketball to be had. Some very interesting matchups here to start things off. But right now, we're going to shift our attention from girls basketball over to boys, and we're going to have a quick interview that you were able to get with Coach Bryant, which is going to lead into our 6:15 guest with Coach Pounders. He is the head basketball coach of the Deschler Tigers. But right now, before we get to that, in the first hour, we revealed our top 10 power rankings for teams here in the Shoals area. We did the girls. Now let's do the boys. So, Scott, do you want evens this time, or do you want me to do evens and you'll do odds?
How about you do evens? I'll do odds.
All right. You like the odds, don't you?
Yeah, I like the odds. Right. The odds are in my favor.
The odds are in your favor. Boy, that was bad. Anyways, all right. Starting off at number 10, let's go with Rogers.
Rogers 5-2. They lost to Deschler. I saw that game. They've got Cade Meyer. He's a really good player. He shoots the ball well from outside. They didn't shoot it well that night, but a really good team, deserving of number 10. I got Calvert Heights at 9, and mainly because they're chock full of athletes with the Shaw brothers, Kevin Shaw, going to be a contender for player of the year in our area from 1A to 3A. And now his brother, a ninth grader, also a football player. They've got good chemistry. Being that they're brothers, they really possess good chemistry. And the transfer from Deschler, Colin Lawler, a guy you probably remember calling games last year, he can really stroke it from the three-point line. He now plays for Coach Walker over at Calvert Heights. So I got them at number 9, Elliot.
I've got Mars Hill at number 8. I mean, one thing I've noticed with Mars Hill basketball in the past, it's just textbook. It's solid. I mean, nothing fancy, no frills, but, man, they know how to move the ball around, get the best shot inside and out. I've got them at number 8.
And nothing changed with the change of a coach with Jim South now taking over for longtime coach Mike Mitchell there at Mars Hill. They lost to Deschler. They lost to Loretto twice, a really good team, but they've gotten – the job done against everybody else, and they're ranked 5th in 2A, so they're deserving at number 8. We got Covenant Christian, the Eagles, led by Titus Griffin and Zeke Griffin and big man Jacob Livingston at our number 7 ranking in our initial power rankings. They're 8-3, off to a hot start. They beat the Calvert Heights team we have at number 9, and they play a really good schedule. Lindsey Lane, one of the teams that beat them. They've got the leading scorer in the state in Tommy Murr. I think he put 48 on them that night. So Covenant Christian, very good team, coached by Brett Waldrop. We look forward to talking to him on another episode of Monday Night Tip-Off. They're at number 7. Who we got at 6, Elliot?
A Lauderdale County High School. I mean, you look at what Coach Mark Newton has been able to do with this team. And, I mean, even last year in Hansville, I mean, man, you look at that roster from top to bottom, you think, man, Reese Thacker, that's one of your best guys right there. He's a big guy. His son, Mark Newton, is an unbelievable scoring point guard for that team, and he's able to make unbelievable passes. Has great court vision. I think last year he was a sophomore. I think this year he's if he was a sophomore last year, he'd be a junior this year. So for a kid that young to be able to possess that kind of court vision and that kind of confidence to shoot off the dribble, I mean, the only thing you can knock him for is he may not be the biggest guy out there, but that's not much. I mean, the guy plays a lot bigger than what his stature says.
Yeah, Wyatt Newton, one of the better point guards in the area, just a junior. I'd put him right in there with J.P. Robinson and Mark Sears. Really good floor general. They've got a good shooter in Connor Smith, only a sophomore. Only one senior for this team. Really young, had a lot of success late in the year. advancing in the state tournament, ultimately losing to Holly Pond, a winner of 30 games in their own right. But this Lauderdale County team passes the basketball. They get the open shot. Very disciplined, not a lot of unforced errors. Maybe a little bit deserving of a higher ranking, but right now, we got them at number six, just ahead of number five, Deschler, a team that I would have had a lot higher, but didn't like what I saw from them on Friday night. We'll talk to, or we'll listen to the interview from the victorious coach and Josh Bryan of Central. They rode the boat to a victory, 57-53 over there in overtime at home. The student crowd was engaged. Deschler's at five, and they've lost now to Muscle Shoals, Florence, and now Central. So no big surprise that they're here because of that, but a surprise to me because I would have had them beating the Central team, but Central just continues to challenge themselves from a schedule standpoint, Elliot, and it's proved dividends so far early in the season.
Yeah, and right now that's going to put Central in at number four in our top 10 power rankings. You know, Central was a team that ever since Josh Bryant got his hands on as far as coaching, I've been impressed with. He's really been trying to send a message to those kids, and they certainly have responded. You know, if you look at the teams they played last year, some close losses that they had, even some that were by double digits or so, kind of brought upon them by themselves, either poor shooting at the free throw line at the wrong time or bad fouls, things like that. But it was things you said, hey, the team's good enough to be in it with some of these more elite teams, if you want to call it. This year, rowing the boat to number four out of 10 in our power rankings.
Yeah, and the record, they're right at 500, but they've challenged themselves schedule-wise. They played in the Lighthouse Classic, a nationally recognized tournament over in Corinth, Mississippi. They're going to be playing Walnut, Mississippi, in the Alabama-Tennessee War. Coach Bryan will say in the interview it should be the Alabama-Tennessee-Mississippi War now that Mississippi teams are in it. But they're number four. And at number three, the Brooks Lions, undefeated Brooks Lions at 9-0. A lot of listeners might say, hey, why aren't they number one? They're the only undefeated team in the Shoals area. Well, let's just hold the roll there on this team. I mean, this is a really good team. Bange plays really solid. Hamner is still learning his footwork in the post. You know, I saw a massive dunk that they posted of him in one of his games. So this Brooks team really playing well. But let me just wait and see. Let me just reserve my opinion, I should say, of this team until I see them play some more area competition. They did get challenged against Lawrence County, victorious. Also, East Limestone, also victorious. They come in at number three at 9-0.
Florence at number two, as expected from a Coach Reed team. This is a team that's going to be athletic, can run the floor with the best of them. You know, they lost a lot of guys from that team last year. They're still good this year, still have a pretty decent bench. They're going to earn number two.
Yeah, they just need to get some consistency. Mm-hmm. He mentioned that the players are still into the oohs and ahs of the crowd. They win a game against third-ranked Spartman, then lose to Hartzell. Fall down 22-6 to Deschler in the first quarter, come back and win by double digits. So very inconsistent, and I think that Coach Reed, who does a great job over there, will get those guys in line, and they will continue to have success. Number one, no drum roll needed, the Muscle Shoals Trojans. Neil Barker's Muscle Shoals team, 7-2. They've added Mikey McIntosh, a very talented sophomore, came over from Corinth, Mississippi, moved schools. He's playing for Muscle Shoals. They've got Wydrick Cobb, a new player in the post, Kai Thompson, another post player that can really get up and grab it, high point the basketball, make some really, really highlight reel dunks. Terrell McDonald, a very outstanding athlete. You know, he's a two-sport player. He, along with the shooters they've got, Jacob Vandiver and Riley Walgamott, and the talented point guard Mark Sears, they're probably the best team top to bottom and also depth-wise. So they easily come in at number one for me, Elliot. Rounding out our Fox Sports Shoals high school basketball boys power rankings for week one.
Can't complain with them being at number one. That Mars Hill team has got some great players. And, I mean, you look at it last year, Vandiver hitting some big shots in the postseason. Terrell McDonald, when they were playing, we called that game last year, Hazel Green. Hazel Green. They defeated Hazel Green. Earlier in the year, Hazel Green
had beat
them bad at home.
He had a 29-point outing. Yeah. He was ultimately the MVP in that tournament. So they have the same team. You know, they lost Mason Soder to graduation, but four starters returned, so they're going to have a lot of success, Elliot. Speaking of success, let's look no further than the Central Wildcats, who were number four in our power rankings. And they had a big win over Deschler to take a commanding 3-0 lead in area play. Let's listen to victorious coach Josh Bryant after that win.
Here with head boys basketball coach Josh Bryant off of a 57-54 overtime win here at home. An area win puts your team in first place, coach. Trailing 3 points down the stretch, you call the timeout. What did you say to your team?
Just hang in. We got to get a good look. I was obviously looking to get Ralph the basketball. Guys just kept believing all night long. Hung in there, because the thing against a team like Deschler is you want to withstand those runs and not give up a 10-0 run. And our guys, we had some mistakes, a lot of turnovers, but at the same time, we didn't give up that back-breaking, momentum-swinging run to them. And we just hung in there all night. I thought it was a very good basketball game of both teams.
At the end, you had a chance to ice it from the line. You guys shot 50%, 7 of 14 from the line, something I know you'll work on in practice and get better on as you get on into the season. But a chance to win, you called a timeout. Deschler knocked the ball out of bounds. It was 1.8 on the clock. What did you set up and what did you look for? I know you didn't get what you wanted ultimately going into overtime, but what were you looking to do?
We screened across with Ralph, and then our guard screened down on his guy, and we brought him back to the front of the rim for a lob. We got it, but at the same time, they did a good job of bodying up on Ralph, and our screener, our small guard, had a hard time getting there with their defense, but we were still able to get a hand on the basketball and get a shot up there, and we got the ball in Ralph's hands. That's obviously where we want it to go. So we did what we needed to do, just didn't make the play right there at the end.
And in overtime, Junior Summerhill stepped up very big for you, outscoring the Tigers on his own. He had 6 big points in that overtime frame. What was he able to do, and how did you guys stop Kevon Summerhill so easily in the second half?
You know, Junior, that's the best game he's played all year long. If Junior plays like that every night, he can make us so much better, because he's such an athlete, and he is able to get on the glass, keep balls alive, finish some plays around the basket. And in his defense on Kevon's key, Kevon's a great player as well, but Junior was able to keep him in front of him, make him score over a contested hand, and he got some points, but he did a great job of defending and giving him nothing easy.
What's next for your team? I know we're getting close to Christmas here. We got the Times Daily Classic. I'm not sure if you're playing in that. What's next for this Central team now 3-0 leading area 16?
You know, we've played a tough schedule. Our record's now 5-6, but our schedule, I think, paid off tonight in this one when it got close late. We go to Savannah on Monday to play in the Alabama Tennessee War. We actually play a team out of Mississippi, so I guess it's Alabama Tennessee Mississippi this year. We play Walnut, Mississippi on Monday, and then we're actually playing Red Bay down there on Tuesday, and then we're playing in the Bracey right after Christmas.
Thank you very much, Coach. Congratulations on the 57-54 win. Central Wildcats improved to 3-0 in area play, 5-6 on the season. Coach Bryant, congratulations.
Thank you, Scott.
Wow, what an interview by Coach Bryant. I mean, he's got, like we said earlier, he's really selling something to those kids, and those kids are buying it, not just the players, but the fans as well. I mean, whole rowing the boat philosophy, hey, whatever works, whatever gets you guys ready to play. They got a very tight win in an exciting fashion over at Central as they defeated Deschler. Folks, right now, let's take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to hear from the other side of that. We're going to have Coach Pounders on. He is the head coach of the Deschler Tigers, so you don't want to miss that. You're listening to Monday Night Tip-Off presented by 2nd and 13 Sports Bar and Grill.
Coach Brian Pounders of the Deschler Tigers. Tune in every Monday night at 5 p.m. to Fox Sports Shoals to hear all your local area high school basketball action.
Welcome back, everyone, to Monday Night Tip-Off presented by 2nd and 13 Sports Bar and Grill. Right now, let's go to the phone lines. We have head coach of the Deschler Tigers, Brian Pounders. Scott, I'm going to let you take this one.
Coach, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
We're doing great. Thanks for joining us. I know it's a busy time for you and for your team with the Times Daily Classic underway now. But, you know, a game that you probably had in your rearview mirror for good reason. We're going to put it back in the front seat for a minute and talk about it. We just spoke with or played an interview from Coach Bryant. I know he's a good friend of yours, you know, but you guys came up short over there the other night in a really hostile environment. 57-54 in overtime. A team that I probably think your team probably, if you asked your team, thought they would have won. What would you say was the biggest reason that you came up short the other night on Friday night?
Just, you know, lack of execution at times, whether it be defensively, coming down with a defensive rebound or getting a stop defensively or running a set play in the correct manner. That was probably a lot of it. And didn't shoot the ball well. And Central played it really, really well. Hats off to them. They definitely deserved to win the game because they played better than us. And like you said, a very hostile environment. Give them credit, their student section and students create a, you know, it's a great atmosphere, but it's also, as a visiting team, it was difficult at times, especially during the second half for us.
Kevon Summerhill, he was very limited, a season low 8 points in that contest. I know you had a sick star guard. J.P. Robinson was battling the flu. I know he still is. I know you're not making any excuses, but did that play a little bit of a role, and did the other players on the team kind of, you know, feel that as a maybe a, not necessarily a distraction, but an enabler that prevented you from getting the win? And ultimately, the crowd noise, it did seem to affect some of your players. Are they going to be able to grow from it, and do you think it's only going to help you moving forward?
Yeah, you know, that's what we try to tell our guys, you know, next man up, you know, when a situation like that where, you know, JP's sick and Kevon, they did a really good job guarding him, and that's what people are going to do. They're, you know, other coaches scout, too. They don't know that he's a pretty good player, and he's going to get double-teamed some. And so, you know, yeah, we had some guys that stepped up, and we had some guys that didn't step up that we need to step up in situations like that. And as far as the environment, definitely. Hopefully that'll help us grow next time we're in some type of a similar setting as that. We can remember that. We've already been through a setting like that, and hopefully it'll help us have a more positive outcome in the next game.
You guys play a really tough schedule. You guys will play Mars Hill, who just won 62-45 in their contest against Tharptown, a team you've already beaten. Does that pose a little bit of a problem or a distraction to your team because you won so easily, winning 81-51 that game at the Destler Dome about a week ago? Does that pose a problem for your team, and does that make it a little bit easier or what?
Well, we hope it does. We try to tell our guys, look, Mars Hill is a basketball school. That's what they've known for the last 30, 40 years. You know, these guys are playing basketball 365 days out of the year. We played really well against them the first time, and I would say that Coach South would probably tell you that was probably one of their, you know, worst games of the year. I mean, they've only been beat by two teams all year, us and Loretta, Tennessee. And Loretta, Tennessee, I think, is 9-1, 10-1, something like that. So, you know, they play a tough schedule, and you know, we're going to have to come ready to play tomorrow. We don't. We'll have a very, very difficult time winning the game.
And you mentioned it. You will play Mars Hill for the second time tomorrow. That game will be at the Coffee Gym. Florence is hosting the boys' side of it, Coach. But what's it going to take for your team to return to UNA and get into that semifinal and championship round where they get to play at Flowers Hall? And is that sort of a motivator and an incentive to do in practice for them to kind of step up and be able to get that opportunity?
Yeah, I definitely think so. You know, we only really have 3 to 4 guys who played last year at UNA, and then we made the championship game. So hopefully, and other ones, you know, obviously there saw it, realized how special and unique that is. But we're going to have to really, you know, come fully prepared tomorrow night against a very, very, very solid Mars Hill team. I think it's Mars Hill's best team they've had there in quite some time. Maybe, you know, going back 4 or 5 years ago when they had that team that made it, I think, the Elite Eight or so. You know, we're going to have to bring our A game for sure to have a chance.
And what will it – let me ask you one more thing, Coach, before we let you go. I know you're busy, and we appreciate you joining us on Monday Night Tip-Off. We had your team ranked fifth in our power rankings here, the Fox Sports Shoals power rankings. Now, these rankings are with all classifications taken into consideration. Yeah. We have Muscle Shoals at 1, Florence 2, the undefeated Brooks Lions checked in at 3, and Central just ahead of your team, mainly because of the head-to-head. But you guys checked in at 5, just ahead of Lauderdale County, a team that you could face. They will have to play the Wilson Warriors, who won 57-50 over Sheffield today in the opening game on the boys' side. Coach, let me ask you this before we let you go. What is the status of J.P. Robinson, and will we see him in uniform tomorrow night?
That's a good question. We don't know. So we will find out tomorrow night at 6:30. You know, hopefully he's getting some rest and getting his body back, you know, and you know, we really don't know. He didn't practice today, and you know, if he does play, you know, well, obviously I don't know how healthy he'll be. So, you know, we've got to tell our guys that, hey, man, it's next guy up. You know, we got some guys going to make some shots and get some steals and get some rebounds, and somebody else has got to take care of the ball. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. Hopefully he'll be able to go, but right now it's definitely uncertain.
Well, Coach, we thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. And, of course, we hope to see JP in uniform, and we wish him a speedy recovery and continued success of your basketball team going down the road and in this Times Daily Tournament. Coach, good luck to you.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Coach Brian Pounders of the Deschler Tigers. You know, Scott, without JP Robinson, how far do you think this team goes?
I honestly, they might could beat this Mars Hill team. They did not shoot. He mentioned they didn't shoot it well. I watched the game. The Avery Thrasher, he didn't play very well, and neither did Cade Parrish. And both those players on that team have to score and score in bunches for them to win most of their games against good competition like Deschler will present. But I think a guy like Kevon Summerhill and some of the younger players like Sawyer Wright, who's only a sophomore, he checks in at 6'7". He needs to dominate the paint, rebound when he's in there, you know his role. They've got guys like Larry Gunn and Hayden Stutz who are defensive-minded players, but they often want to be offensive-minded. They need to defend, know their roles, know when they need to score. Most of the time, you're going to want to see the Gunn kid score in transition, maybe laying the ball up because of his speed and his ability to create steals in their press. They run a really good diamond press. They get a lot of steals out of it. They get out in transition and run. That's where you're going to need those guys to score, not necessarily jacking up from the three-point line, which these kids like to do. Lonte Knoll's a very lengthy player who plays the guard position for Coach Pounders. These guys are going to want to penetrate and kick and get better shots and, you know, score their buckets in the paint and in transition and not settle for, you know, long three-point shots, whether uncontested or not.
Now, no one really follows Deschler basketball any closer than you. Makes sense. I mean, you're an alum from Deschler. Kevon Summerhill, I remember seeing him for the first time when he was a freshman, a kid that could already jump out of the gym. You know, being a freshman, it looks like he's continued to grow, now listed at 6'3". Not sure if that height is accurate now or not. I think last year it might have been a little inflated, but that almost didn't matter. Kid could still jump out of the gym. But one thing I noticed when I got to see him last year was it looked like he was trying to develop more of an offensive game rather than just crashing the glass, which was something that he did as a freshman. Have you seen any more improvement from an offensive perspective?
Oh, there's no question. He's got a nice elbow jumper. He's one of the best baseline shooters at his size and position that you'll see in the Shoals area. He can step out and knock it down. He doesn't handle the basketball quite as well as he's going to need to if he's going to play at the next level. Mm-hmm. But he is improving from an offensive, you know, perspective. But he's going to have to get it where he is his best is when he has his emotions in check. This is a player that, you know, he's very competitive. He wears his emotions on his sleeve, and he's going to have to keep those emotions in check because oftentimes that leads to the mistakes that he makes and the taking plays off, you know. And I've coached him in AAU, and the biggest thing I tell Kevon is to keep focused and don't worry about all the outside noise. And a lot that happens a lot. Look back to the Central game. That was nothing but outside noise. Mm-hmm. So I think he bought into that a little too much. That's why you saw the season low 8 points from him on Friday night. Not something that's going to happen very often. For example, he had 12 or 14 in the first quarter against Florence, a team they took a 22-6 lead against. So he gets up for these games, and I think he's going to have to take every opponent serious, and he's going to have to take this Mars Hill Panthers team serious. He's not going to be able to look at that box score, Elliot, see where he put up 25 points and they won by 30 and think that that's going to be duplicated just by lacing up his sneakers. He's going to have to go out there, rebound, crash the offensive glass, get, you know, out in transition, run the floor, make the right plays, and execute, like Coach Pounder said. He mentioned it, execution at the top of his list for his Tigers to be victorious tomorrow night in the Times Daily Tournament against Mars Hill.
We'll see how it all plays out. Right now, let's take a timeout. When we come back, we'll have Coach Mark Newton. He is the head coach of the Lauderdale County Tigers up next. Stay tuned. You're listening to Monday Night Tip-Off presented by 2nd and 13 Sports Bar and Grill on 97.9 Fox Sports Shoals.
This is Dee Beckwith of the Florence Falcons. Be sure to tune in to the Monday Night Tip-Off Show on Fox Sports Shoals 979 FM.
Welcome back, everyone, to Monday Night Tip-Off presented by 2nd and 13 Sports Bar and Grill. Right now, let's go to the phone lines where you have head coach of the Lauderdale County Tigers. It is Coach Mark Newton. Coach Newton, thanks for taking time to join us this evening. Sorry, Coach, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Yes, sir, I can hear you now. Thanks for taking time to join us this evening.
I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely, Coach. Right now, your team is playing some pretty good basketball. Only three losses on the season, and you know, looking at the losses that you do have, we're talking single digits. I think you did have one double digit loss to Pleasant Grove, but you had a big win against Lexington, 50-44. Right now, the Times Daily Classic is here. Your team has been playing well. We did a Fox Sports Shoals Monday Night Tip-Off top 10 power rankings. And regardless of classification from 1A through 6A here in the Shoals, we have your team sitting at number 6. And depending on how things go with you guys in the Times Daily Classic, you guys could be moving up as well. Right now, playing some really good basketball. What is contributing to your success, and how do you feel about your team's play moving into the Times Daily Classic tournament?
I think some of the success we're having now is we did have a good summer. I think we got to play a lot of games and play together, and that helped us some early. As far as how we're playing now, we haven't peaked. I mean, I think we still got several steps we can make to make us a more solid team, especially on the defensive end. So that's really what we're stressing now. You know, you mentioned we had a couple close losses, and you know, a lot of times those close losses, a few defensive mistakes really, really costing those games. So that's what we're trying to fix right now.
Coach, one player that I've always been impressed with on your team, and I know there are several, Giovanni Shanes, Reese Thacker. One player in particular that really has been standing out to me is your son, Wyatt Newton. He's only a junior this year. I remember seeing him last year as a sophomore taking the reins as the floor general. Unbelievable passing ability and shooting ability and such confidence. I mean, just seemed like you couldn't really face him even when, you know, the game was tough. I mean, I look at last year, you guys were playing Holly Pond, a team that had scored numerous times 100 points against opponents. Now, in high school, with only 8-minute quarters, that is just almost unthinkable to be able to score 100 points like four times in a season. And you guys had to play them, and I bet most people going into it said, you probably don't have much of a chance. And there you were right there hanging with them and actually giving them a run for their money. They had more depth, and you guys were still able to play with that team. I've been very impressed with the way you've been able to coach your team up, bringing back several of those guys this year. You know, Wyatt Newton, as the leader of that team, what has he been able to do to help make the guys around him that much better?
You know, I think it's a two-way street. You know, Wyatt can pass the ball, but the other guys have to get themselves in the right position to receive the pass, and they do that. And, you know, I think it's just – I don't think that he is doing anything to bring them on. I think the other guys are working, and they got talent, and they're getting better just individually, which affects the team in a positive way and also makes things easier for Wyatt in that situation.
Coach, this is Scott Whittle. I've watched your team play now three times. I saw the game against Central, a game that you lost. I covered the game against Colbert County, and I saw another game that you played. But let's go back to and talk about your team a little bit. You don't have but eight players listed on this varsity team, and I think all of them, you know, find their way into the rotation. What do you do, and is it a luxury having guys that can – you know, come in and really not have a big drop-off? You are a very young team. I think Reese Thacker and Buddy Burchell are your only seniors on the roster, but you've had guys like Connor Smith, a sophomore, Slade Brown, another sophomore, and, of course, Giovanni Shanes that Elliot mentioned to go along. They're all sophomores to go along with your son. And let's not forget Luke McIntyre, also a sophomore.
Right.
But your
right.
son, Wyatt Newton, a junior, along with Jeffrey Palmer. What's it been like having those younger guys, you know, come in and score the basketball? Because I'm very impressed with the shooting ability of a guy like Connor Smith.
Well, you know, it's good, and they do well on offense. And I don't believe we've shot the ball corporately as a team as well as we can yet. I think we've had nights where, you know, maybe Connor gets hot and hit some shots, or we've had nine, I think, at Central White hit some shots, and then Buddy Burchell's come off the bench, which is a senior, and he's shooting the ball well. So offensively, we need to start getting those nights where we're all just kind of hitting our open shots and things like that. But it is a luxury. It's a good thing. They got the younger guys got good offensive instinct, but we need to work on that other side of the ball, get some little better defensive instincts. And when we start putting those two things together, you know, I think we'll have something.
And, Coach, knowing you had a young team going into the summer after – would last year's success that you enjoyed toward the end of the year and that state run that you made, did it change the expectations of your team as a coach and from the perspective of your players at all?
I think it energized the players. I think it made them kind of sit up and look and say, listen, we got the opportunity if we work maybe to make another run the following year. And I could tell a difference in the preseason and after the season. I could tell a difference in, you know, just really their attitude towards the upcoming season.
And you will play in the Times Daily Tournament. Wilson was victorious in their ball game against Sheffield, 57-50 this afternoon. You will face that Wilson Warriors team, a team you beat earlier in the year. Is that something that you've got to try to get your team to stay focused and not just feel like they just got to show up to win, knowing you've played this team and already beaten them?
Well, you know, I hope they don't feel like we got to show up to win, because usually when you show up to win, you show up to lose in that situation. But our concentration is right now is we've got players that individually need to get better at certain things on defense and on offense. And going into this game, and we stressed it in practice, and we want to see that transfer from practice over to the games. And those things they need to do to make the team better will give you the best opportunity to win the game. So that's kind of our approach. It's not, you know, we're going there to win the game. We're going there to do the things needed to make us better to win the game. So that's what I'll be looking for tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon.
Coach, it sounds like you've got things figured out as far as the direction of your team and you know, the message that you're sending to your guys, you know, certainly seems to be something that's going to instill confidence in them as you guys take on Wilson tomorrow. We do wish you the best of luck to that. Fortunately, we are out of time right now. But, Coach, once again, thank you for taking time to join us. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Coach. I really like this Coach Elliott. He does a great job. His team is very disciplined. They're young, but they're disciplined. And you see it, you know, right from the start in his son. You know, you can tell he's a coach's son because he really does all the things, all the intangibles. He makes the right plays at the right times. Now, he's going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, he's just a junior, but he's a good floor general, and I've added him to that upper echelon of point guards, as I mentioned earlier in the show with J.P. Robinson and Mark Sears. But we're going to take a break here on Monday Night Tip-Off presented by 2nd and 13 Sports Bar and Grill. And when we come back, I think we're going to talk a little Alabama college basketball to wrap up the show. We'll give you a few updates on some other scores along the way in the Times Daily from the girls and boys side as we have them available. But you're listening to Monday Night Tip-Off here on Fox Sports Shoals 97.9 FM.
This is Terrell McDonald of Muscle Shoals Shoals. Just be sure to tune in to the Monday Night Tip-Off Show on Fox Sports Shoals 97.9 FM.
Welcome back, everyone, to Monday Night Tip-Off. Monday Night Tip-Off presented by 2nd and 13 Sports Bar and Grill right here on 97.9 Fox Sports Shoals. And as promised, folks, we did get him on the line. It is Stephen M. Smith of Touchdown Alabama. He is also co-host of The Way It Is with R. Jordan Campbell here on 97.9 Fox Sports Shoals. Stephen M. Smith, how are you doing?
Doing well, Elliot. Jack is playing. Now, a lot of NFL action going on right now. Of course, you know, the college football bowl mania is in full swing, so you can't beat that with a stick.
Well, let's talk a little hoops with Coach M. Smith here. This is Scott Whittle, buddy. Always good to talk to you, Stephen. And we're going to talk about Alabama. Avery Johnson's team sitting at 7-3. They're going to play a game. They're going to play host. They're going to play Mercer tomorrow night in Huntsville. Tell us a little bit about that, and then I know they got a game coming up also away from Tuscaloosa, but in the state of Alabama at Legacy Arena in Birmingham against the Texas Longhorns. But tell us what's on tap for this Avery Johnson coach Alabama Crimson Tide team.
Well, number one, Scott, you mentioned that you're playing Mercer, and though you're playing him in Huntsville, the job is still the same. Go out there and get the win, and I remember Avery Johnson talked about during the media viewing for Alabama basketball on Friday. Well, not Friday, Sunday, excuse me. He talked about Braxton Key looks good. Key, who has missed the opening portions of this season due to an injury, a torn meniscus in which he had to have surgery on. Avery Johnson talked about how well Key has looked in shoot-arounds, how much healthier he's got than Braxton Key, the young man who led the team in scoring last year, averaging 12 points a game from Charlotte, North Carolina, is expected to play. He's good to go. You know, Johnson talked about the defense that he provides. John Petty also talked about the man's energy, the energy he brings to the offense, the energy he brings on defense. So having Braxton Key back for the Mercer game is a big deal for Alabama. But number two, and first and foremost for Avery Johnson, as much as he loves the offensive creativity that his team can bring with Colin Sexton, with Braxton Key, with Dazon Ingram, Dante Hall, and the group, he wants this group, this unit, to be sound on the defensive end. We've seen a lot in these 10 games where Alabama a little bit more fouling than they're used to. I know Herb Jones, my boy, from New Bern, Alabama, so Herb Jones, who loves to step in and draw those charges a couple of times, who's called for blocking fouls, and all those fouls kind of questionable there, depending on which angle you look at it on. But Avery Johnson wants to see more sound defense, more steals, more defense without fouling, and Braxton Key was one of those guys last year who did a pretty solid job of doing that. So while the Tide very happy and excited about getting Braxton Key back, Avery Johnson knows if we want to get to the tournament and play, you know, quality ball in conference, we have to be sound defensively.
And we talked a lot on your show that you host, The Way It Is, about this Alabama Crimson Tide basketball team and its expectations when they land five-star player Colin Sexton and, of course, the other players in John Petty. You mentioned Herb Jones, Alex Reese, and the Smith kid from Mississippi. Listen, Stephen, it seems as though the expectations were very high, if you ask the folks in Tuscaloosa about this team. And it looks as though the games that they've won against teams like Texas Arlington, a game we got to watch up close together, they won by 1 point. Now, we know this Arlington team, Elliot, if you don't know, they're in the Sun Belt. They're probably going to win that conference. They're probably the favorite to win it. They've got a few players on that team that are NBA ready in their own right. But that was a close win. Then, of course, BYU, another close win. That was, you know, in a tournament at Barclays that they ended up losing the next night against Minnesota when they were down to three players. We all know about that game that was well chronicled. But then they played La Tech, only winning by three in that game. Then they win close only by four to Rhode Island. They drop a game against Central Florida, you know, a close game at Arizona. What's it going to take for this team to get over the hump? And are the expectations being, you know, whittled back a little bit because of some of these outcomes in these games against some of these other non-conference opponents?
I don't think the overall expectation will get taken back, Scott. The one thing Alabama has got to do, and it starts with old Avery Johnson recognizing which rotation on the floor gives you the best possible option. We've seen the times where Alabama loves to go out to a two big, Daniel Gittins, the transfer from Ohio State, and also Dante Hall. And then there are moments where Alabama plays the one big and faces the flow of guards. First and foremost, you have to understand Dante Hall at this point is your best big on the floor. This man has made a huge transformation. I remember this freshman season, going back to 2015-2016, this guy was making just 43% from the foul line. He's terrible. Was not the best foul shooter. He has risen that free throw percentage up to 69%. The guy is highly efficient inside. 75% shooting from mid-range, Dante Hall, which is first in the NCAA where college basketball is concerned. He's one of their team leaders in scoring, one of their team leaders in blocks, and one of their team leaders as far as toughness. This guy is so much tougher on the inside block. Can face up and shoot now. Has developed a sky hook. Has developed a post game. So Dante Hall is your best big on the floor. I want to see more toughness from Daniel Gittins, more toughness from Alex Reese, and also Damon Smith. But also the big thing, Scott, is shot selection. I go back to the Arizona game between Alabama and the Wildcats for a minute. You know, the Wildcats destroyed teams at the McHale Center. That's why Arizona was 5-0, 6-0 at home prior to facing Alabama. And the Crimson Tide, a 10-point underdog, but to only lose by six and, quite frankly, pass the game won. There were about six shots in that game. One of them in particular from John Petty, who comes off a 10-down curl, takes an inside shot where he doesn't really secure his footing on the shot. If he either works to get a better shot or passes up that shot for a better, more high percentage chance, we're looking at Alabama possibly winning this basketball game. So the expectations definitely are not tapered down. You got to get more toughness from your guys on the inside, aside from Dante Hall, and then more high percentage shots, better shot selection from guys like Petty. From players like Wiley Norris, who gets good looks, but just has to be able to knock those shots down.
And, you know, knowing that they're coached by a guy in Avery Johnson who's been a coach of the year at the highest level in the National Basketball Association, you can only imagine that he will, you know, teach his team, and you'll see this team with, you know, a lot of talented freshmen seeing meaningful minutes, Stephen. Take better shots. You named it in John Petty. Probably not the best shot to take with his team down one possession with a minute and a half to go on off-balance three that was highly contested. But I think they will improve on that. But what is this team's success, you know, mainly looming around one-and-done star Colin Sexton from a recruiting standpoint? What is it looking like for Alabama in this upcoming recruiting class? And is their success hinging upon, or contingent upon, I should say, them having a deep run in the NCAA tournament?
The recruiting class, Scott and Elliott, going smooth for every job in Alabama men's basketball. I don't think that the success of the recruiting class hinges on a deep run of the tournament. Now, of course, you want to get into the NCAA tournament. Everybody wants to. You want to make a big run in this tournament because through Alabama basketball, you want to prove that basketball and football can coexist at the same school. I remember the last Southeastern Conference team to have that happen was the Florida Gators, where they had both football and basketball coexist under football head coach Urban Meyer, basketball head coach Billy Donovan at the time. So Alabama, you want to have both sports coexist, but I feel like with Avery Johnson being able to get a Colin Sexton, get a John Petty, getting an Alex Reese, a Herb Jones, but more so than that, getting the guys before them, the Braxton Keys, the Davon Ingrams, you know, guys that were not his players, to buy into what he wants to do, speaks volumes to the recruits coming in. If you can come in and take kids that were not your kids, you didn't bring them in, but yet you somehow get them to understand what you want them to do, how you want them to do it. They buy in, they say, "Coach, I'm rocking with that. I feel you. Let's go get it." You got young 17, 18-year-old kids that are going to identify with that. They're going to think, hey, you know, this guy can go out there and get so-and-so, but they respect him as if he got them. And I think that's the biggest drawing point for Avery Johnson. He can sell ice to an Eskimo. And when you have that persona, when you have that personality, that you can win, but not just win, walk into any kid's house and their family's dwelling place and be able to recruit that kid and bring that guy in, that's what these guys are looking for.
There you have it, folks. That is Stephen M. Smith, the encyclopedia of all things Alabama athletics, from the gridiron to the hardwood. Stephen, we appreciate you joining us tonight on Monday Night Tip-Off here on Fox Sports Shoals, presented by 2nd and 13. Always a pleasure to have you. Tell our listeners out there where they can find you and your great content, buddy.
Oh, no problem, Scott. I appreciate you and Elliott on this evening. They can find me on Twitter at Coach and M. Smith. I have to change the Twitter handle for the fans out there. That's just up the way it is. So Twitter handle, that's at Coaching M. Smith on Twitter. The main flagship station for me, or flagship network for me, is Touchdown Alabama Magazine. That's at TV Alabama Mag on Twitter. You can also find a lot of my basketball content at Bama Hoops Hype. But as always, it's awesome to be on tonight with you and Elliott, and looking forward, Scott, to having you on the way it is with Jordan and I every Wednesday.
Yes, you can catch Stephen on his show, The Way It Is, Monday through Friday here on Fox Sports Shoals, 97.9 FM from 2 until 4 p.m. They do a great job covering all things Alabama athletics and SEC across the board. Stephen, always a pleasure, and I look forward to talking to you again soon, buddy.
No problem. Y'all have a great one.
You too.
Thanks a lot to Stephen for joining us, taking time out of his busy schedule. He already does a show here on our network, Elliott, 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, so he's a busy man. He writes for Touchdown Alabama Magazine, so he is the guy when it comes to Alabama athletics, and we wanted to talk Alabama hoops, and he gave us the rundown right there from a recruiting standpoint and from the success that this Alabama team has had. 7-3 on the season. They'll face Mercer tomorrow night, not in Tuscaloosa, but in Huntsville tomorrow night.
Well, folks, we are just about out of time. Before we depart,
I just want to remind you to follow us on social media. You can like and follow us on Facebook, Twitter. My Twitter handle, E.S. Stevens. That is Stevens with a P-H, 979, or Scott at the Scott Whittle. Also, our show has its own Twitter Twitter handle, Tip Off Show 979 FM. Again, that's Tip Off Show 979 FM. Also, almost forgot about this, our Facebook page. Go on there, watch the pen video. We're giving away a $50 Amazon Echo Dot. So you certainly don't want to miss an opportunity to win that. Want to thank all of our guests that took their time out of their schedule to join us. Thought it was a great show, great having them on, and look forward to bringing some more coaches in the future and provide more coverage of high school teams here in the Shoals. Folks, we look forward to catching up with you next time here on 97.9 Fox Sports Shoals. You've been listening to Monday Night Tip-Off presented by Second and 13 Sports Bar and Grill.